I'm very happy now to welcome Janet Shaw, Patrick Mokokoro, and Gail Rocker. They are all involved with the Goro Monzi Project. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you, Mary.
So this is a project that started by you, Janet, when you were Zimbabwean and you were visiting Zimbabwe. You now live here in New Mexico. And you saw something that caused you to take action.
Yeah, I had been visiting my mom and my sister who still live in Zimbabwe. And I saw my sister was visiting a friend of hers who lives in the Goro Monzi area. And he was an elderly man. And there were all these children running around. And I asked him, why aren't these children in school? It's a weekday, they should be in school. And he said, well, I don't have money to pay for their school fees. Some of them are my grandchildren. Some of them are my neighbors, deceased neighbors' children. And some of them just come here because they have nowhere else to go. So I said, this is crazy. These kids need to be in school. So I came back to Placitas, where I live, and I asked 16 of my friends to sponsor the 16 children he was taking care of. And within 2 weeks, we had sponsors for those children. And then more people asked me for more children to sponsor, and then more children wanted to be sponsored. So that's how the project got started.
Now, why are there so many children without parents? Is it pretty much all because of AIDS?
It is primarily all because of AIDS. We've got close to 2 million orphans in Zimbabwe. And it's such a shocking number because, you know, many of the parents die, you know, after, you know, being infected with HIV. And so Janet came along at the right time, you know, and provided support for education and for food and for medicines for these many of these vulnerable kids.
Now, not only children, but adults, too, in Zimbabwe are very much subject to all sorts of problems, including illnesses and including just plain lack of food.
Mm. That's right. Yeah, there's over the past 10 years, Zimbabwe has sort of gone into a complete meltdown where food has been, you know, difficult to come across. And it's been difficult to send children to school because they don't have any, you know, the parents or grandparents don't have any income to sort of send these kids to school. So Goro Monzi Project has really stepped in for the communities and for the families to be able to make sure that they've got, you know, the kids have got chances to get into school. More so, as you point out, that, you know, the parents, you know, face or grandparents face problems in getting health care. That's been a challenge. And, you know, majority of it has really been just absence of funding, you know, to the government, rural government clinics, and also to the hospitals. So it has been a challenge for Zimbabweans to be able to access good health care.
So you started this project, Janet. What did you actually do? What's the nature of the project?
What we do is we provide greater access to education, food, and health care for orphans and vulnerable children. And what we did after we'd been there for a few years and Patrick came along, what we saw was that it's the littlest children. It's the children from the age of 3, 4, 5 years old. Those are the ones who are most likely to die. If they get to the age of 9 or 10, then the grandparents are going to say, okay, you know, we can give a little bit of extra food to this one. This one's going to survive, maybe take care of the, you know. But it's the little ones who are the most neglected, and those are the ones who are most likely to die. So we said, okay, with Patrick, he really saw that early childhood development is where we need to go. And
I have to say, it sounds like the pre-kindergarten programs in New Mexico, and when they talk about how important those years are, it's the same thing everywhere.
Yes, it is. And what we've done is actually we've lifted quite a few of the policies and the ideas from the United States. We have board members who are educators, and especially in early childhood development. And we've taken the general idea that they use in the States of getting food and education to these little ones so that they have an opportunity to learn to like education right from the start, and they get used to going to school. And then we decided to focus on the preschools, on the early childhood. And what we do is we don't go and build new preschools. No, we use existing preschools. And we work with the teachers. We provide teacher training, that type of thing.
Now, there's a process that you go through when you go into a community called appreciative inquiry.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yes, that is a strength-based approach where we are trying to get the best out of the communities. What are the things that they can do to provide, you know, holistic care and support to orphans? And we go in there and ask positive questions about their situation. For example, when was it that you lived in this community that you had everything that you'd need? How were you involved? What action did you take? So you'd get a community saying, well, you know, we remember a couple of years or 10, 15 years ago when we had a bumper harvest. And this was because everyone participated in farming. And then so we say, what does it take to get that going again? What does it take to make sure that the kids and the orphans have got enough food? They say, well, maybe if we work together, if we plow the chief's land and we, you know, someone contributes maize and we all work as one unit, we're able to have more food. So it's those positive things that we are looking at that we want the community to sort of identify without any external sort of support, to look at the strength that they have, you know, within themselves. And we build up on that. Another question would be, you know, when was the time that you were growing up that you enjoyed being at school? And you then get, well, you know, we enjoyed playing with toys and we enjoyed, you know, maybe having a meal at school. And then we say, what does it take for you as a community to do that? And they then have innovative ideas of how to do it. So appreciative inquiry really is a strength-based approach where we are saying communities are not problems to be solved, but communities need, you know, to have visions for the future. They need to work for themselves and they need to be able to be guided at least by Goromonzi Project or any other supporter within the community.
Now, you work with young kids, you know, 3 to 5 years old, preschool ages and so on. You were just talking about an example of agriculture and community-supported, community-based agriculture.
That's right.
Does your work extend out into those other areas? Or in other words, when you go through this process of appreciative inquiry, does agriculture get better the next year?
Well, what really happens is we are trying to get the community to identify the things that they can use to support their own orphans. So if agriculture comes up as one of those important things, then we ask them to, you know, find out how best can they plant, how best can they have a good harvest the next year. We are, as Goromonzi Project, primarily looking at how do we increase access to early education for orphans, and then everything else is just being built up around you know, education as the main focus.
How many communities are you working in now?
Goromonzi rural area is a large area, and we work specifically with 3 preschools. So that's 3 schools, and there are 3 preschools which are attached to those schools. Mm-hmm. And then there are about 100 to 150 children in each preschool.
So several hundred children, and the idea is that these children then become a productive and happy part of society rather than a drain on society when they get older. You've been doing it for several years, what, 5 years now?
Yes.
How's it going? Like, what do you see in the kids who are now 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old?
Well, one of our earlier successes, this young man was maybe 12, 13 at the time. And he's just graduating from 2-year college program at the moment. So he's completing his art college. His name's Philip Maruvanu. He's done very well. And what we did when we changed from the individual sponsorships, we didn't abandon those children, we just phased it out. So he's one of the original children. And another one is Annette, and she's at business college. So that's part of the results that we're seeing. What we do see is that the first grade teachers come back to Patrick and they say that they cannot believe when the children start school that they are so school ready, that they know how to make a line, they know they know that they're expected to do certain things at certain times of the day, and they're ready and they're hungry to start learning. They've been playing all these games in preschool and they're ready to go.
If I may step in there, I think there's also been, you know, remarkable change where the kids really love school. And this is because in their early years, they got used to such a system where they would play, have fun. And that is sort of, you know, they've graduated to older school. And now they're able to say, wow, you know, we love school, we love maths, we love English. And that builds up that interest. And also, you know, one of the remarkable changes and that we've noticed is that this program helps to keep kids enrolled with education. Zimbabwe values, and Zimbabweans do value education a lot. So, you know, having education as a foundation for kids really sort of, you know, improves their lives.
One of the things that you've talked about at other times is what a disaster the orphanages are. What are the orphanages in Zimbabwe like? This is, I mean, doing what you're doing with the kids is really trying to create alternatives, like extended family and community alternatives to orphanages.
Yeah. The orphanages in Zimbabwe are usually very packed with kids. You know, orphanages are a place for last resort, but usually you find that communities and people in the major cities that are unable to look after, you know, orphans tend to just rely on the Department of Social Welfare to look after these kids. The conditions there are pretty bad. You know, the kids don't have family, they don't have love, they don't have protection, they don't have the attention that they need at the young ages. So our program really has been focusing on the community to say, let's provide the kids a chance to grow in a normal family environment. Now, we encourage, if it's the grandmother who's looking after that child, we encourage her, you know, to continue looking after that child as opposed to sending the kid to an orphanage. And you find that the kids, you know, who stay with the grandmothers are free-spirited, happy, jovial, and, you know, they don't have many issues to think of. And when you want to compare that with the kids in the orphanages, sometimes after time they are crying and there's no one who's giving them love or anyone who's giving them support, which really sort of destroys, you know, their early childhood. They then have bad you know, thoughts. Even as they grow up, they'll look back and say, "Whoa, you know, that wasn't a good time." So our encouragement really is for community-based support, and, you know, as the Goromonzi Project, we're working at strengthening the support of the community to look after the orphans.
When you have extended families, you have grandmothers or grandfathers looking after the children, do they love them as if they were their own? In other words, do the kids get the parenting that they need?
At times they do. And this really depends on, you know, what sort of support are you providing to the grandparents. Goromonzi Project in June of this year launched a parenting program, and this was based, you know, upon, you know, the knowledge that we had gathered that, you know, the children are not probably getting as much attention and support as you mentioned. And this parenting program is just aimed at teaching the grandmothers and really just reminding them of the traditional methods of care. You know, what do the kids need? What sort of attention do they need? And so far, I must say, we've, you know, got a tremendous improvement where the kids are coming to school happy and the grandmothers are saying, you know, we're enjoying looking after our kids. Despite all odds, where they don't have money to buy food or buy clothes for the orphans, but just the love and emotional support that's there is very good, and it's pleasing to know those changes.
We're talking about the Goromonzi Project of Zimbabwe, Patrick Mopokoro and Janet Shaw, and Gail Rocker very quietly on the sidelines here. How did you get, what's your involvement in this project?
Well, I had just gotten back from Africa, and I ran into Janet at a book signing. This was, 3 years ago? And I just have to say that I've been on a lot of boards, and I've supported a lot of nonprofits, but this is the one that I believe in completely, Mary Charlotte, because for one thing, I know every bit of the money is going to help those kids. And I know what success we've had in such a short time, and you can tell from listening to Patrick and Janet.
Now, let's talk for a moment about the country of Zimbabwe and Zimbabwean culture. I imagine that a project like this is really taking the strengths of Zimbabwean culture to help
That's
the kids
right.
learn and grow.
That's right. You know, Zimbabwe, as I mentioned earlier on, and Zimbabweans in particular, value education a lot. And the Goromonzi Project has used that as a basis to bring out those strengths. There's no parent, there's no guardian, there's no grandmother who wouldn't want their kids to live a better life. What way better to enter into that community than to, you know, assist them increase, you know, access to education? And the other thing that really, you know, motivates us as Goromonzi Project is that the communities are willing to work. It's not about, you know, how much money do they have, or do they have enough clothes, or they are willing to work and support a particular cause. But more importantly, the appreciative inquiry process that we use emphasizes the fact that Goromonzi Project is coming in to help where we can help. It's the onus is upon the community itself to pull themselves out of the situation that they are in. I mentioned earlier that There used to be a sort of a generic view where you'd see communities as problems that need to be solved. But we are coming in with an approach to say, you've got issues, you've got problems that are there. How best can you address them? What are the things that you need? And they come up with ideas, and I've mentioned, you know, farming, collective farming is one of those. They come up with those ideas, and they are the people that do the work. So they are very, you know, passionate and committed to the cause of looking after orphans. And this is not a new thing. Traditionally, you know, orphan care and child care has been a community effort. It hasn't been left to outsiders such as Goromanzi Project. So it's just a process of reminding them and just saying, let's look back at our history, let's look back at the things that you used to do, and let's build up on that.
And it's, I think, very important that this is a Zimbabwe-based project, both of you being Zimbabweans, and although you're getting support from very nice people like Gail and,
yes,
and others, it's basically a locally based thing, so you don't have people in air-conditioned vans coming in from the outside and telling you what to do.
No, we don't. And that sort of brings the connection between Goromanzi Project and the communities. We're local, we're, you know, right where they are, we identify with the problems that they face, and when we, you know, talk about solutions, they're not coming from air-conditioned offices. We are there standing in the, if it's, you know, they say, oh, let's go out and see this, you know, piece of land that we have. We go there, we see it, and we talk about possible suggestions in terms of, okay, what crops do you think you can grow in this type of soil? So we are right there with them every step of the way.
Yeah, I'd say that we're right there with them every step of the way. And whenever I go out there, you know, some of the people remember me from when I was a young child. Yeah. And they know the schools I went to. Yeah. They really welcome me there. Right. And I feel that we are, you know, that part of that acceptance,
yeah,
is... Yeah. Part of that acceptance of,
that's
who,
right,
I am when I was little and they were growing, yeah, up alongside, yeah, me, and that, I think that sort of, yeah, contributes to part of the success. That's, I don't know, do you think?
Yeah, that's right. And it's not about, you know, people coming in from the outside with big 4x4 trucks and saying, okay, this is how you're going to do it. Do it this way, or it's our way or the highway. No, it's, we are working together. They know Janet. They know me. I've been working in that area for quite a long time. And so we've developed trust and a relationship. And so sometimes, you know, I think that they don't want to let us down as Goromanzi Project, because,
yeah,
we've been there with them and we've worked so hard to help them out of their situation.
You know, when I was there last time in May,
yeah,
we had a preschool opening, and I was asked to give a speech.
Yeah.
So I told them about when I was a little girl, 4 years old, and
yes,
I was taught how to cook pumpkin at my preschool, you know, mashing it up with butter,
yeah,
and loving it.
Yeah.
Well, when I got up to go, everybody had bought me these gifts of pumpkins. Everybody,
yeah,
ran out,
aww,
to their farm and bought me all these pumpkins. So that's just the type of typical experience that,
yeah,
that I have when I,
yeah,
go there. It's just a lot of love,
yeah,
towards me. I feel a lot of love towards, yeah, me when I go back into the community there.
Mm. You also have on your staff a nurse.
Yes, we do have a traveling nurse, Isido. He is.
I love it. He's on a motorbike.
He's on a motorbike, and he's just out there every time. And his job really is just to identify children who need assistance with health. Now we've got a couple of, we've got about 38 to 40 kids that are HIV positive within the program that we are supporting. And part of his job is to really make sure that they, you know, adhere to the drug regime that they have in terms of taking their antiretroviral drugs. So he goes out and collects the drugs from the main hospital and it delivers them to the children. But importantly, he's been there to provide, you know, counseling to the families, to the grandmothers who are just, you know, the grandmother who is left with, you know, just a couple of children after the parents have died, and she needs to cope. So he also provides some counseling, which is very important, so that she's able to cope with the difficulties. And sometimes, you know, we do lose the children. They eventually die. But just being there with the family and being there with the grandmother who's been burdened, you know, by this responsibility is important. And Isido does such a fantastic job just making sure that the kids are well taken care of, both on the health perspective and also with their food.
Now, there is an event tomorrow night, Thursday, the 18th of November, from 5 to 7 at Casa Nova in the rail yard. It's a benefit for the Goromanzi Project. And do people have to RSVP if they want to go to this?
We want to make sure we have enough food for everybody, Mary,
yes,
Charlotte. So, yes, if people would RSVP, and they can call me,
at 954-9962.
Correct. And we can put them on the list, and that's all that's necessary. It is a free event, and our purpose is to introduce Patrick and introduce the project, because we do know in Santa Fe we have a lot of action for Zimbabweans in Zimbabwe.
Indeed, and we have all this marimba music and so many people playing Zimbabwean music.
That's
it's incredible here in Santa Fe. Mm. So Gail Racker's number is 954-9962, and Patrick Makokoro is the director, and Janet Shaw is the founder of the Goromonzi Project in Zimbabwe. We will link to it on our website on santafe.radiocafe.org. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much, Mary Shelley, for having us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz.